Amen. Amen. We need to be transformed into God's will, right? Not our will. We want to thank God for a lady, Vasquez. She played beautifully. Even though she's tired, let's give her a hand. You know, those are our future pianists for First Baptist Church. Amen. So continue to pray for them, that God will just develop them, that they will grow and just love it, because sometimes when they get older, they say, I don't want to do it anymore. Amen? We want to thank God this morning for another beautiful Sunday morning. And we continue with our series, Facing Our Foes, Big and Small. And we're going to be looking at a very interesting word, pride. Only a few people know about pride in here, because I say pride. Amen? But before we go into our word this morning, let's just look to the Lord, that he would just guide our hearts as we speak this morning. Eternal Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. And even as we've come, Lord, we ask that you take charge and you speak your word, and that your word will go forth and accomplish the purpose for which it's been sent, and that you will be glorified through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pride is something that we overlooked, but it's one of the greatest sin. Have you ever thought about that? So, for, you know, our YouTube blog, we say pride, don't we all have it? In fact, pride has become man's greatest enemy. And not only that, but many people are struggling with pride. And sometimes they don't even know when you try to tell them, they say, that's who I am. They say, I don't care how you feel, that's me. That's pride right there, right? But there's a way out. And we're going to look into God's word and see what it has in store for us. And for our eternal truth, being our greatest enemy, because the Bible talks about that, most of all, not all, but our problems derive from pride. Our marriage problems, parenting problems, workplace problems, even spiritual problems derive from this one fundamental problem, which is pride. And it eats us up with not even considering that even with pride, we hurt each other. We hurt our spouses. We hurt our children. We hurt our friends. We hurt the church. And most importantly, we hurt God. As we look at pride, first of all, let's consider pride a problem that is so dangerous and deceptive sin that we overlook all of the time. You see, nothing brings destruction to our homes, to our lives, to our family, to our friends, but pride. You know, it was sometime last year, we had a funeral here. And right after the funeral, we had the repast in there, and we were trying to, after everything, we got ready to break down the tables and everything. So Pastor Gary and I, we took our tie off and rolled our shirt sleeves, and we started breaking. And this lady walked, she said, aren't you two people the pastor for the church? Wow. I said, yes. She said, I've been to churches, but I never saw pastors doing the work you guys doing. She said, I'm from Minnesota. I wish I was in Jersey. I was going to come here to your church. Because if there was some pastor that was said to be served and waiting for them to be served, but I was surprised that you guys rolling on your sleeve, breaking down tables and tears and what have you. But you see, so I told her, I said, if you want to come to FBC, get ready to be a servant. Yeah. Amen? We get a title, but no, God is the head. Amen. But sometimes pride takes over, spiritual pride. Sometimes we pride because I'm the pastor, so everybody should do what I say. They're subject to me. No. Amen? Amen. Even in our home, we're so proud. Maybe I'm bringing more income and I don't listen to my wife. No, I listen to my wife. Because 1 minute she'll be calling Pastor Gary. But it's a real thing happening, right? Pride in our family. Husband's so pride because he don't listen to his wife. He don't listen to even his children. Even at job, at work, you're so proud because maybe you're the best IT person or you're the best educated person or know the job. You're proud. Even in the church, you don't want to be corrected. Because you think you know everything. That's pride. And so now I'll just run into it quickly because we got a business meeting. I don't want to stay too long. We ain't got no attendance for business meetings. So if we have attendance, I'm going to take lunch. Ready, Tigger? Okay. The problem with pride, first of all, let's see what pride we don't define. Let me go back there. The problem with pride, I am good enough. I am good enough. Oh, nobody want to say that with me. You ain't good. Ain't that what we say sometimes? I'm better without me. You can't do anything. Without me, the person cannot sing. Without me, the youth ministry cannot run. The Sunday school. No! Without you, God can do things better than you do. Yes. Amen? Yes. Pride was Satan's downfall. Pride was humanity's downfall. So let's just run into it quickly. As we define pride from the Merriam-Webster dictionary, say pride or quality or state of being proud, reasonable, self-esteem, confidence, and satisfaction in oneself, exaggerating self-esteem. But I don't like that definition that much, but I just put it there. But I like this definition from Strong's. I was reading his book, and this is what he says about pride. He said, pride, it will show yourself above others. Show yourself with an overwhelming estimate to one's means of merit, despising others, or even treating them with contempt, haughty. You don't care how they feel. You don't care what they think. That's you. That's who you are. That's what we say, right? But you see, pride came from a long way. And the root of pride was caused in Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus spoke about it. You see, everything that is done by you, by me, is come from our heart. That's why Jesus said, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed what? Evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornication, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and an act of evil, blasphemy, and what? Pride. Pride comes from your heart. You purpose in your mind, this is who you are, and this is what you're going to do. You don't care what other thing about you, but this is what you decide to do. And that's pride eating you up big time. So let's look at pride. It started, some people actually say, oh, sin started from Adam and Eve. But others say, no, sin started from Satan, the first sin. Because in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 12, verse 14, it says, how you are falling from heaven, O Lucifer. Now, before going forward, it said, Satan was one of the archangels in heaven. He led the heavenly chorus. And when he opened his mouth to sing, it's like you, when Rosemary touched the keyboard, you hear all the chorus, you hear all the music sound. That's how he sounded in heaven. But guess what happened? Pride. Pride. And it said, how you are cut to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, and this is what pride does, is I, me, myself, not us, not you, Not we, but it's I, me, myself. You see what he said? He said, I will ascend into where? Heaven. I will exalt myself. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. And in verse 34, he said, I will ascend above. He said, I will be like the what? Most High. Satan want to be like God. The opportunity that he had to worship, to serve God, was not enough for him. He want to be like God. And when you want to be like something that God had not created you to be, pride is eating you up. Pride is taking control. But not only it started with Satan, but also Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Now, God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. He told them, he said, all the fruits, the trees you can eat. But this tree of knowledge, good and evil, you should not touch, you should not eat. Because the day you eat, you will do what? Die. So what happened? Satan came around. And Satan said, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not, what? Surely die. He said, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. Your eyes will be open and you will be like what? God. Remember now, in Isaiah we read earlier, what did he say? What did Satan say? He's going to be like who? Like the Most High. So now, he's deceiving Eve right there. He said, you will be, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God. Knowing good and evil. So what did she do? So she went ahead, and she saw. Now, some theologians are reading this book, and it says that it wasn't the good look of the tree, the apple that Eve had to eat or convince her to eat. No, it wasn't the look. It wasn't how pleasant it was. But the fact that she heard Satan say, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, she wanted to know how it feels like to be like God. She wanted to have that experience to be like God. Because God is all-powerful God, right? The Bible said in the beginning he created everything, he spoke, and everything came into being. You know, on Friday we were talking with our youth group, and I said, God is so powerful. We were talking about Psalm 119, verse 8. How we tend to not understand the powerful God we serve, right? Because if we go back to Genesis, God spoke. So imagine if someone just come and said, hey, lights turn off, and the lights just go off. Who is this person? Satan wanted to be like God. He convinced Adam, he convinced Eve, if you eat the fruit, you're not, and truly, Eve wasn't going to die. But he didn't tell Eve what kind of death that she was going to die. He said, no, you're not going to die. And true that she wasn't going to die. But what God meant that, not a physical death, but God meant a spiritual death. And that spiritual death will have separated you from God. Because the day you eat, your eyes open, you know right from wrong, you're no longer going to be like God anymore. You're not going to have that communion. Because the Bible says in the cool of the day, God came down, he walked with them. He communed with them. He talked with them. So they had a direct relationship. And Satan said, no, you're not going to die, Eve, but your eyes are going to be open. You see how deceptive and how pride make us to do the wrong thing? And yet, here's something I want us to understand, church. Pride is rooted in the human heart. We enter this world with an inherited pride. You see, the great difference between human being And a super being is that apart from God, I can't do nothing. Apart from me, God can do whatever he wants. God is not going to wait for me to do what he wants to do. God is not going to wait for you to do what he wants to do. So if you are proud within yourself and say, oh, hey, hello. He said, if you don't praise me, guess what he's going to do? I'm going to raise up the stone to praise me. So who am I to stand before my creator and be a prop image before him? And that's how big pride is eating us up as a believer. You see, pride started with Adam and Eve. In our original sin of Adam and Eve, Satan held out the promise of attainment. Now, he tempted them and said, you will be like God. You will not die. You will be like God. And whenever you want to be something who you're not supposed to be, who God don't want you to be, you stepping in the place of the Creator. You telling the Creator, I'm not your creature. I'm yours. I'm like you. And God hates pride. And we're going to see that later. Let's go to our next point. The peril of pride, the danger of pride, destructive nature, destructive self-view, and spiritual pride. Let's just look at that quickly. The destructive nature of pride. Pride leads to downfall. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before what? A fall. Now, think about this, right? The proverb warns us about the danger of pride and arrogance. Now, it suggests that when we become pride, guess what's going to happen? It's going to lead us to destruction. When we become pride, we're going to fall. No matter who you are, no matter how best you think you are, if pride is in you, guess what? God's word doesn't lie. He says that pride will cause you to fall. It's going to bring you down. Because if you stay in the place of the God who hates pride, he detests pride, he doesn't like pride spirit. We're going to see that later. And you think God going to accept you? No. In Proverbs 29:23, it says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Who does honor come from? From God. So if you pride, you think God going to honor you? God ain't going to honor you. If you have that pride spirit in you, God is not going to honor you. He's not going to lift you up. You're going to fall. And pride brings division. It causes division. And Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well advised is wisdom. The well advised, you are in tune with God. He gives you wisdom in every situation. He guides your heart. You are leaning on him. You're not leaning on your own understanding. You're not leaning on your own thoughts. You're not leaning on your education. You're not leaning on anything, but you are leaning on God. Once you lean on him, the Bible says he will direct your path. That means you put pride behind you and you now become a servant of God. You see how pride gets destructed? It leads to downfall and it causes division. Not only that, pride, it causes us to compare ourselves with others and say, oh, I'm a good prayer warrior. I pray better than the person. Oh, I'm a good singer, I sing better than the person. Oh, I'm a good teacher, I teach better than the person. Oh, everything you better than other person. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus spoke about it. The Pharisees, they went into the temple. He said, the Pharisees stood and prayed. There were two men praying in the temple. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And he said, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men. That's pride right there. You know, Marvin and I were talking this morning, and he said, you don't understand how God is dealing with me. You don't know. Sometimes God deals with me just because he knows how I am, and he deals with you different because he knows who you are. Right? And thank you for tapping into my message, Marvin. But it's true. You don't compare yourself with the next person. Because God sees that person differently than you see that person. God sees that person's spiritual walk differently than you see that person. That person will be quiet, calm, but God is using them in a different way in how that God can be glorified. And this God in the temple praying, he said, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, or even as this publican. He was so brave enough to even mention the person. See how pride? See how pride destroys us in a heartbeat? And Jesus, and that's how we make comparison of who we are. Oh, my church is better, it's greater than the church. We got good church. You want a great church? Come to FBC. No. No, we all are just mess. You know, my former pastor in Minnesota, he said, this lady, she complained about churches. She came to the church in Liberia. She said, I'm not going to that church. And he said, which church you from? She said, from the church. So he said, listen, just as you left that church and came to my church, it's the same way something's going to spark. You're going to run from here and go to the next church. He said, if you keep going, if you find any perfect church, tell me, I will take my church, we'll all go to that church. For the fact of the matter, we are all mess, we are all sinner, we are all human, we are not perfect. But God will work with us just as we are. And you know, interesting, he said, do you think that church is the problem? No, you are the problem. Because you're going to go to the next church with the same problem. And when they come, you're going to leave and go to the next church. You are the problem. Sit to one church. But that's how pride does, right? It eats us up. We compare that we are better than this other person in our spiritual walk. Not only that, let's look at the pattern of pride. Arrogance in attitude. Ooh. Sometimes you are being confronted. No. Your voice alone makes people scared to come and even want to talk to you. All your veins stretching on your neck, your eye want to pop out, and you just say, what? Is that person a Christian? Is that? I love that picture, right? I'm always right. If you think you're always right, check your break. Pride is eating you up. Arrogance in attitude. Action reflecting pride. Let's look at that quickly. Self-sufficiency. We all know the story about Nebuchadnezzar, right? The Bible said God raised him to be one of the kings, and he conquered nations around. And this is what he said in Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. It says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is this great Babylon, who created? Who built it? Oh, you ain't seeing the people see that? Oh, y'all talk with me. Right? He didn't say God. He said, built by my mighty power, as a royal residence for the glory of who? My majesty. Ooh, pride. Pride. Oh, I got this degree. I work hard for it. This house, I work hard to build it. This, I work hard. It's me. I did it. Pride. And look what God says. What he says is, while the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven and says, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. In a heartbeat, pride caused him to lose everything. You see how proud he was? God placed him there. God allowed him to be a tool for other nations, to conquer other nations, especially the children of Israel, to bring them to their senses because they were captives in Babylon. But he looked, walking in, ready to boast about himself, that all of his accomplishment, everything that he accomplished was him himself. Forgetting to know it was God who gave him the opportunity. You know the story in the book of Luke, this fellow who produced, his barn was filled, and he harvested everything, and he said, oh, I've got everything. He said, I'm going to tell self, enjoy, sleep, enjoy, and be merry. Paraphrasing, he said, I'm going to enjoy and be merry, forgetting. And Jesus said, you fool, tonight your life will be taken away. So all that you're going to enjoy and be merry, it's over. But you see how pride does? That's how powerful pride is. And not only that, we kind of dismiss others. We don't consider others important. Ephesians, Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, do nothing from what? Selfish ambition or conceit. But what? In humility, count others more. Ooh. That word, more significant than yourself. Is that easy? It's not easy to count others more than yourself, but that's how it should be. God doesn't care about how you think about it. Because he knows that when you think more about yourself, pride is going to take over you. It's going to destroy you. So he wants you to do it the hard way to keep that relationship going along with him. And not only that, boasting and bragging. Our actions reflecting pride. We boast. Look at Jeremiah 9 verse 23. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? From God. He said, let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Woo. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I what? Delight, declares the Lord. God said, if you want to boast, boast in me. Boast. I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God God delivered me. I'm not going to hell. I'm grateful for his son's death on the cross for me. I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep shouting, because he did it for me. You know, I love Stuart when he's teaching the children for new member class. He always told them, he said, make it personal. When we ask, what did Jesus die? He said, Jesus died for us. He said, no, Jesus died for me. Because when you make it personal, You honor him. You understand that he did it personally for you. There are billions of people, but guess what? He did it for me. So Jeremiah, God said, honor me. Boast in me. Boast in the salvation you have. Because you have been in hell. But I gave my only son to bring you life. Amen? Refusal to listen. Pride cause us. We don't want to listen. In a home when your wife says, I'm the man of this house. You don't tell me what to do. When you start asking me questions. Look at what Proverbs 12 verse 15 said. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But a wise man listens to advice. If pride takes over you, you don't listen to anybody. You don't care what it says. You don't want to entertain any suggestion or idea. Because it's all about you. But he said the wise, only the fool will not listen to advice. But the wise will listen to advice. Oh. Let's look at in James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. This is a very interesting passage, right? In this verse, it talks about pride. And there are three guarantees in James chapter 4, verse 6 I want us to look at quickly. And one of them is that God is against you. If you are proud, God is against you. And another guarantee, grace is not affordable to you. And the third thing in there is that no matter how proud you are, guess what? God will humble you. He knows how to do that. If you don't do it now, guess what? You're going to be humble in hell. So I'd rather be humble now than to be humble in hell because there's no turning back. So let's look at that quickly. The first thing, if you are proud, God is against you. Look at James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gave more grace. Therefore, he says, God does what? Resists the proud. But gives grace to the humble. What does he do? Notice the first part of our statement says that God resists the pride. He doesn't love pride. He resists it. So it had to be people. No, sometimes once people imagine once people oppose your idea. You said this idea I think is best, it's gonna work. And they say, oh no, it's not. No, we don't buy an idea. You get mad. I spent all my time doing all of this, and then you come and tell me, say, this is not, it's not going to work. You even give it a try, and you say, it's not going to work. So imagine you how you feel when someone opposes your idea or something. You get hurt. Then think how God feels when you oppose him. And not only that, but you doubt him. If a proud, you see, God set himself against every proud person, he resists it. He is against the proud. Pride is nothing part of God's plan. You see, God hates pride. In fact, the last verse will tell us that he detests even the proud heart. Let's look at it. He said in chapter 6, verse 16, he said, these six things the Lord hates. Six things the Lord hates. He said, yes, seven are abomination to him. And the first thing is that what? Proud look. God hates it. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that share innocent blood. A proud look. To show that how God detests pride. He doesn't play. And that's why I said pride goes before what? Destruction. Because if you have a pride in your heart, in your life, It's not going to spare you good. It's not going to lead you to no good thing. It's going to destroy your life. It's second, in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate what? Evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth, God says he hates. God hate that. And not only that, in 16 verse 5 of Proverbs, it says, the Lord detests all the proud hearts. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. If you have that spirit of pride, Proverbs saying, hey, guess what? You will never go unpunished. God is going to punish you. God is going to judge you. Because he didn't create you to carry on a proud heart, a proud spirit. The second guarantee we see in James chapter 4 is that if you are proud, you will not receive grace. Look at that, he said, but he gave more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud. But he gave who grace? So if you need grace, you got to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself. Bring yourself as, here's the point, the thing here is that God is our creator. Now, if God is our creator, and we as our God creature, if we display a proud spirit or heart that is against God, who are we fighting against? We're fighting against our creator. And who are we to fight against our creator? Jesus said, you cannot even make one string in your hair. The hair on you, you can't even count on you. You can. Who are you? Who am I? And that's why it's important to honor God in everything with a humble heart, a humble spirit. Psalm 138 verse 6 says, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the what? The lowly. But the proud, he knows them from afar. If you're proud, you're far from God. God doesn't entertain proudness. So if you fall, you are proud. You are far away from him. But if you humble, you are closer to God. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus talked about this young man who came to him. I'm not going to read the whole thing for time's sake. But this young man came to Jesus. He asked Jesus, he said, teacher, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said, in verse 10, he said, why do you call me good? No one is good. And Jesus said, you know the commandment. Do not commit adultery. Go on. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. He went everything. And this young man said, he answered, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And what did he say? He dropped his head sad and walked away. Now, I wanted to understand something right there, right? In that Jesus said, he told him, he said, do not steal, obey the commandment. He said, and what did he say? He said, teacher, he said, I have done all, he said, in verse 20, he said, and he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things are kept from my one, youth. So this man telling Jesus, hey, I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I've been obeying from the day, from my youthful days up to me being a grown man. You see how pride can eat you up? He didn't consider himself a sinner. But the least thing Jesus asked him to do, he couldn't do it. Guarantee number three, if you are proud, God will humble you. In Proverbs 18:12, it says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. God gonna humble you no matter who you are. And we look at, we see that in Isaiah chapter 2, right, verse 11, it says, the lofty looks of man shall be humble, the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon every proud. The day of the Lord shall come upon what? Every proud and lofty, upon everything that lifted up, and it shall be what? Brought low. No matter who you are, when the day of the Lord comes to cause you to be humble, he will. So you need to take a break and see where you are. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 7 says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares about you. So how do we go about humbling ourselves? Is it easy to just go about humbling? Let's just take a look at it. The pursuing of humility. We want to look at the perspective model and the perfect model. And that will take us about the next 20 minutes. We ain't it, don't worry. Let's look at a perspective model from Philippians chapter 2. This is what Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish what? Ambition or conceit. But in what? Lowliness of mind. Let each do what? Esteem others better than himself. That's humility. That's not pride. And now they say, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That's the prospective model of humility. I, me, myself, is out. It's you, we, us, take form. That's how God wants us to do. And that takes away pride from us. Because if, Paul said, if we consider others more than ourselves, then we'll be able to consider God more. How can you say you love God whom you have not seen, but you hate your brother, you hate your neighbor, you harbor hatred in your heart against them, and you come Sunday morning and say, hallelujah. You're deceiving yourself. Love, that's what Jesus said, love your neighbor. Just as you love yourself, love your neighbor. Or even more, let's look at the perfect model of humility. Paul says it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 9. He said, let this mind be in who? Sometimes when, you know, in my Bible, I circle that you and put me on top of it. Let this mind be in me. Even though God said we should not change his word or ask or try. But I told you, I said, God, I want to make this personal. So I'm putting me in there. I'm not changing it to do anything, but I just want it to be personal. Sometimes you want things to be personal. Write in your Bible and make it personal. And it said, let this mind be in you, which was also in what? Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he did not consider a robbery to be what? Equal with God. But he did what? He made himself of no reputation. Not at all. He took the form of what? A bond servant. And coming in the what? Likeness of man. Whew. That's humility. That is humility. Bringing yourself down. You know, somebody came to the church one time and then was standing and said, "Oh, where's the pastor?" And I was standing and said, "Oh, yes, one of our pastors, associate pastor there." And they said, "Oh, I'm sorry. You look so young." I said, "Forget it. Small." But guess what? Humility is something that God cherishes. And the perfect model for humility is who? Jesus Christ. Any other thing but Jesus Christ. Look in there, in verse 8, it says, "And being found in appearance as man, he what? Humbled himself and became what? Obedient to the point of death. Even death to of the cross." And you see what? God, it moved God's heart. His son did not consider himself equal with him. But guess the result? God says that. He said, "Therefore, God also has what? Highly exalted him above, gave him the name which is above what? Every name." Hey, when you humble yourself before God, before man, you know, our common thing here is that when you humble people say, "Oh, you are stupid." Hey, I'd rather be stupid before man than to be in trouble with God. I'd rather God accept who I am and live a humble spirit, a humble life, than to allow pride to take over me. So church, this is the message. Pride is our biggest enemy. Pride is our greatest enemy. And we overlooked it. We think fornication, lying, cheating, stealing, all those things. But God, the first thing when he said in Proverbs, he said, seven sins are hid. And the first one he hit on was what? Pride. So you see how God doesn't love a proud spirit. But there is still a way out. And our way out is Jesus Christ. And our model to follow is Jesus Christ. Because when we follow his model, how humble he was, God is able to transform, do great things in your life, and you can overcome pride in a heartbeat. Because he did it, and you, me, we can do the same. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We pray, oh Lord, that you would just speak to our heart and that we will understand that you do not love a proud spirit. We just ask you, God, to just touch us in a special way. It doesn't matter who we are, whether you are not Christian, whether you're not born again, pride eats up everyone. But with Jesus being our perfect model, we are able to overcome. If you are here this afternoon and you're struggling with pride in your life, remember, God has an answer for you. And there's a way out. And the way out is humility through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we will realize that you hate pride and that we will be humble and live a humble life that is pleasing before you. In Jesus' name, amen. The praise team will come and lead us into our closing song. Thank you. will change our heart from pride to humility. And he has the power. And he can change your heart. He can transform it. He can make you who he wants you to be. But it has to start with you surrendering and committing to him in a humble way that only he can transform us.
I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and I want to encourage you guys to stay for our business meeting. It's not going to be real long. Nothing real crazy is happening. But I want to encourage you before we leave. You know, John the Baptist said this. He said, he must, what? Increase, and I must decrease. Isn't that the battle for us? Because we want to keep increasing and kind of bring God down. And, Pastor Anthony's message touches my heart too. Like, pride just kind of hides in the shadows of our lives, doesn't it? So let's ask God to really change us in the days ahead and make us more like Jesus day by day. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for its power. Thank you, dear God, that it shows us exactly who we are as if we were looking in a mirror. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to overcome this foe by the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, help us to be honest with ourselves. And Lord God, change us into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Thank you for all that you're going to do now today. Father, I pray if there's anybody here, Lord, that has a need, that they would just reach out. Even if it's not about pride, whatever it might be, Lord, help them to reach out this morning. And Lord God, bless our time of business as well as we just spend a little bit, Father, looking at what you've done through us, Lord, not what we've done. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving.